I see you, Tim. Well, good morning, church.
Morning.
If you're visiting with us this morning, we are glad that you have chosen to worship at Wiley Methodist Church. You will find in the chair back in front of you a visitor card that you can fill out if you choose to leave some information with us. We'd like to follow up on that visit. If you choose not to do that, that's okay as well. Just God bless you, and we're excited that you chose to worship at Wiley Methodist Church this morning. I wanted to remind you that this afternoon, from noon to 2:30, we'll be having our discovery class, and Jeff will be sharing more about the ministry and mission of Wiley Methodist Church. I know there are some of you that have signed up to be a part of that, and if you haven't had a chance to do that, you're more than welcome to attend that. So if you want to know more about Wiley Methodist Church, that's today from noon, right after church is over, till 2:30. And wanted to remind you that this Thursday at noon, the north side of the Taylor County Coliseum, north side of the Taylor County Courthouse. That's exactly what that says. Courthouse. Why did I say Coliseum? Courthouse. That's what I said. Courthouse. After I said Coliseum. Taylor County Courthouse, north side. Noon to 1 p.m., One Kingdom is leading us through a prayer session, Thursday being the National Day of Prayer, so come and support that as well. I read an article yesterday that outlined the wealthiest people on the face of the planet, the 500 richest people on the face of the planet, and I didn't see any of your names there. Maybe they didn't interview you or whatever, but that's what it was. Okay. But some names were a surprise, and some of them that's on this list was not a surprise. And who do you think the richest person in the world is? Who would you think it is? Throw some names out at me. I heard Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey. Jeff Hatcher? Did I hear Jeff Hatcher? Jeff is actually 501. He was just right outside that top 500. Well, actually, Bill Gates is the wealthiest. His net worth, he is the richest person on the face of the planet, $79.2 billion. Some other names you may be familiar with, Warren Buffett. His net worth is $72.7 billion. Did somebody say the Walton family? Anybody? Did I hear that or not hear that? And these are probably children of Sam Walton. Their ranking was 8, 9, 11, and 12, four of them, and their net worth was between $39.1 to $41.7 billion. Jeff Bezos, I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He is the CEO of Amazon. His net worth is $34.8 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, everybody know who Mark is? He created Facebook. $33.4 billion, and poor Steven Spielberg. I felt sorry for him. He made the list, number 481, and his net worth is a paltry $3.6 billion. So we need to pray for his self-esteem to elevate. But I didn't see any of us on that list, which didn't really surprise me. I think all of us probably at some point in our life have had a desire to be rich, maybe, to be wealthy. Has anybody ever done that besides me? Wondering what it's like to have unlimited resources? You know, for me, it's only going to happen two ways, more than likely. One of them is to win the lottery, which I don't play the lottery, so that's not an option for me. If you play the lottery, God bless you. Good luck. That's all I have to say. For me, it's a voluntary tax that we pay to the state of Texas, and I really don't want to pay the state any more taxes than what I have to pay them. Or we could possibly win the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, which for about a 10-year period, I was almost certain, this was 25 years ago, I was almost certain I was going to win that. And so, you know, everybody's in, you fill out a registration, and if you want to really win, you take out some subscriptions for magazines to enhance your chances. And I did that for several years, and there was one year, and I don't remember the year, but I was going to Lowe's. There was only one Lowe's during that time, Southside location, and I passed by a motel, and the Publisher's Clearinghouse van was sitting there. Do you guys remember that? And so I thought, this is my year. You know, I've won. Here they are. Ed McMahon's going to show up at my doorstep with a 3x5 check with my name on it and hand it to me. And somebody in Wingate, Texas, that really didn't deserve it, won it that year. You guys remember that? From Wingate. That happened 15, 18 years ago. You know, I think some of us probably have wished that, perhaps, that we were rich, that we were wealthy. And as I think about this list, you know, it's really a bogus list. Unless somebody on this list is a believer in Jesus Christ, they're not the richest people on the face of the planet. Because the richest people on the face of the planet of the earth today are you and I, believers in Jesus Christ. There's a great wealth there that I don't really understand. But Scripture says that we are rich. I'm going to look at 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Jesus Christ was rich. And for 33 years he chose to vacate his position, right hand of the Father, to become poor so that we could become rich. And he was exalted back to the right hand of the Father. And so you and I are rich. Do you feel rich this morning? It's deeper than just wealth, even though it could be that, but it's so much deeper than that. So what does it mean to be rich in Christ Jesus? Well, we are going to continue our sermon series this morning. One Jeff's been preaching through Living a Resurrected Life. And the sermon title today is A Life of Riches. A Life of Riches. Before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for opportunities to dive into your Word and see what it says about us being rich in you. Father, I'm almost certain this morning a lot of us are walking around as paupers. We're walking around as if we were living in poverty in you. So, Father, I pray for a release for people this morning, release from me this morning, so that I can grasp exactly what it means to be rich in you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to cover a lot of ground, a lot of scripture this morning, so we're going to move pretty fast. I'm going to share with you four benefits of being rich in Christ. Four benefits of being rich in Christ. And the first one is all of our physical needs, not wants, but all of our physical needs will be met. All of our physical needs will be met. Let's look at Philippians 4:19. And this is Paul writing to the Philippian church. It says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, glory, or glorious riches in Christ Jesus." The Philippian church was an obedient church. They gave, on several occasions, they gave money for an offering that was to be taken to the saints in Jerusalem. One of their members had come to Paul and gave him a gift, and his response to them was that all of their needs would be met according to the glorious riches that are found in Christ Jesus. And God can do that. God has unlimited resources. God is not on a budget. Like we're on a budget, he has unlimited resources, and all things belong to him. Therefore, he can meet all of our needs. Let's look at Psalm 24:1. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." You know, Psalm says the Lord owns it all. Not just the stuff, you know, not just this planet, not just the ground, but he also owns the people who live in it. And we'll unpackage that just briefly here. You know, we make statements like, well, this is my whatever. I mean, I've got my pickup is in the parking lot. I drove it out here this morning. This is my shirt. It used to belong to Bells, but it doesn't belong to Bells anymore because I bought it. This is my shirt. This is my cell phone in my pocket. My house is not really my house. It's the mortgage company's house, but I claim that it's my house. And, you know, it sounds ridiculous to say, well, this is God's shirt, this is God's cell phone, because God doesn't need a shirt, God doesn't need a cell phone. And it's something that man has fashioned. But man has fashioned all of this stuff as we know it, things that we own. He's fashioned that out of stuff that God has created. You know, scientists tell us that there's three states of matter, M-A-T-T-E-R. And they're what? Somebody tell me. Three states of matter. Solid, liquid, and gas. And we see that with H2O, which is water. You put water in the freezer, it becomes a solid. You take it back out, it becomes a liquid. You boil it on the stove, and it becomes a gas at 212 degrees. Scientists tell us that matter, something interesting about matter, it cannot be created, nor can it be destroyed. The only thing we can do with it is alter it. So it tells me that all the matter that exists today has always existed, and God created that. It's his stuff. So we take the stuff God created and we fashion things out of that stuff. Psalm 24 also says the world is his and all who live in it. Now, not everybody is God's child, but I believe God has rightful ownership of everybody that has ever lived on the face of the planet. And we can see that by the authority he has in the book of Revelation, when someday, if you believe future events, which I do, someday this earth is going to be destroyed. It's not going to exist any longer. And every person that's ever lived is going to have to stand before God and give an account for their life. And there's nowhere to run and there's nowhere to hide. And it's going to happen. And so God has absolute authority over creation. He has absolute authority over us. And therefore, he has unlimited resources and he can meet any need that we'll ever have. When I went to work for the fire service in 1983, Jeff and I was talking about it a couple of weeks ago, and Jeff was in that same process back in 82, 4, somewhere in there. And he actually bailed out because he couldn't make enough money to live on. Well, I wasn't smart enough to bail out, apparently. And so I stayed, and it was tough. My goodness, it was tough. And we had two children, and we really sensed that God wanted Carlene to stay at home and raise our children. And so it was one income and whatever I could do to scratch, to eke out a living doing things on my days off. And it was tough. But I tell you what, God met every need that we ever had. As I look back over that time period, he's faithful. He's faithful. And I don't think he's really failed any of us in this room. Has God ever failed anybody? I mean, I know we're disappointed in the way things turn out, but I tell you what, God is faithful. He can meet all of our needs out of the glorious riches that are found in Christ Jesus. So that was benefit number one. Benefit number two is that spiritual blessings are ours. Spiritual blessings are ours. Let's look at Ephesians 2. This is verses 4 through 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he has mercy, an account that will never vanish. He's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you are saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God is rich in mercy and God is rich in grace. And I don't understand this connection with us being seated in the heavenlies. I'm still trying to unpackage that. But physically it's obviously not true because we're here today. But spiritually, our position in Christ is being seated with him in the heavenly realms. So let's look at Ephesians 1:3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." It doesn't say that he will bless us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It says that he has blessed us. And all the blessings in Christ Jesus are available for us today. First of all, us being seated in the heavenlies, that's a position of victory. You know, Jesus Christ overcame sin, he overcame death, he overcame the grave, he overcame hell, and he overcame that lying, stinking devil. And since we're seated with him, then we're overcomers as well. We overcome sin because of what Christ has done for us. We will overcome death. We will live eternally. we'll overcome the grave, and we have overcome the devil himself. And we need to quit putting up with this mess, church. We're overcomers. We're overcomers. Secondly, every spiritual blessing is ours. Now, we could stand up here. I could stand up here and list that for the next 30 minutes, what the spiritual blessings are. But here's just a few things that are available for us. Peace is available. Patience is available. The ability to feel loved is available for us. To be content in all situations is possible. The ability to endure trials with pure joy, not just any type of joy, but pure joy. Walking free from our past is a spiritual blessing. The ability to fully forgive and receive full forgiveness is a blessing from the Lord. The ability to be Christ to those who are hurting, the capacity to love as Jesus loves, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit in us and us walking in power is a blessing from the Lord. Those are some of the many spiritual blessings that are available for us. And we struggle with tapping into that particular resource. God is rich in blessings, and He's extended all blessings to us, especially the blessing of the Holy Spirit living in us and us walking in His power, which is actually the third benefit of being rich in Christ, is that we get to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Ephesians 3:14 through 16. It says, for this reason, this is Paul praying for the Ephesian church. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in the inner being. So Paul is praying that out of the glorious riches of who God is, who Christ is, that we may be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit. How many of us need power this morning? How many of us need strength this morning? That's available for us. Paul goes on to pray several things for for the Ephesian believers in regard to being filled with power. He prays that they will be filled with power and be strengthened so that Christ will dwell in their hearts through faith. And it's not a salvation type experience, that we receive Him by faith, but it's walking by faith. That Christ will dwell in us as we walk out our salvation in fear and trembling through faith. He also prays that we will be grounded in love, that we will understand the love of Jesus. And Scripture says that we'll understand how wide and long and high and deep, some cubic measure of love, that we will somehow comprehend how Jesus feels about us. That we will be grounded in that. And so grounded in that we will love each other unconditionally as Jesus loves us. I don't know about you, but I place conditions on people as I struggle to love as Jesus loves. But it's available. That's something that I can do by being strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And have some kind of understanding and walking in the fullness of God. I don't even know what that means. I don't think I've ever been there, but we can be strengthened so much out of the glorious riches of Christ that we can walk in the fullness of who God is. Not that we're God, not that we're perfect, but that's a deep walk. I don't know if I've ever been there, but that's something that's attainable through the glorious riches that are found in Christ Jesus. And fourth benefit of being rich in Christ is that Christ dwells in us. Christ dwells in us, which probably ranks as number one, but it's number four on the list. Colossians 1, 25 through 27 says, I have become its servant, the gospel, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Church, that's something to shout about right there. Christ lives in us. Christ lives in us. And it was a mystery for centuries, because if you look at the scripture, Old Testament scripture, you look at what the prophets had to say about who Jesus was and about future opportunities for Gentiles to be recognized by God, to have Gentiles have grace extended to them by God. It was a mystery. They didn't understand it. Because from a Jewish person's standpoint, Gentiles were good for one of two things: either to be killed or to be enslaved. Let's go in and wipe them out. They're pagan people that they worship foreign gods. Let's go in and kill them. And God extended grace to a few Gentiles in the Old Testament, and you can go back and read about that. But either they were good for nothing other than just being killed or being enslaved. And so it's a mystery as you look at Scripture that Jesus, this Messiah, would come and he would be a light to the Gentiles. It was a mystery. But through Christ, the mystery itself is solved. Christ lives in us. Christ dwells in us. And we get to share in the promise that the Jewish people had. And church, that's a glorious thing. Christ in us. You know, we're in him. He's in us. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We have a connection with him there. Church, we are incredibly wealthy. I don't know if you feel rich this morning, but we are. You know, since God has everything at his disposal, it's kind of like it's ours, you know. Poor old Bill Gates, he's only worth $79.2 billion. I feel sorry for the guy, unless he has Jesus. We're incredibly wealthy. But, you know, we don't live that way. I struggle to live that way. I struggle with living that out. I mean, I feel like some days I'm living as a pauper, that I feel like I'm poor, that I'm in spiritual poverty, that God has invited me to the banqueting table and I've chosen just to pick up the scraps that fall to the ground after the banquet's over. And God has so much for us through Christ Jesus because we're rich in him. I think one way that we can celebrate our richness in him is through communion. And Jeff, would you come up and lead us through that, please?
If you've been here very long, you've heard me kind of tell Cheryl and I's story. We've been married 34 years, be 35 in July, and the first 10 or 11 years, Cheryl used to say to me, "I need you to treasure me," and I was thinking as I was reflecting our communion this morning, she needed me to treasure her because, and I have no idea why, but she treasured me. And you see, I couldn't treasure her until I saw that Jesus treasured me. And I still, as much as I am puzzled by the fact that she treasured me, I'm even more puzzled by the fact that Jesus treasures me. Jesus treasures you. And this meal, I don't think we can really appreciate this meal until we understand how Jesus treasures us and these riches that he has poured out upon us. You know, this meal is a sacrificial meal. It's a costly meal. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken haphazardly. It cost the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ because he treasures you. Do you know that this morning? Do you know he treasures you? I pray that you do. Because he treasures you, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this bread is symbolic of my body. It's going to be broken for you. And then he took the cup. And he was basically saying, because I treasure you, this cup is now the cup of the new covenant established in my blood. Costly. It costs something. So when we come and we partake of this bread and this cup, we are participating. Jesus said, it was a simple thing he said to the disciples, and he says to us, remember. Remember. When we come through these lines in just a moment, as you're handed the bread and you partake of the cup, remember that you are treasured. Remember, this is a costly meal. So I just want to ask you for just a moment to bow your heads. Jesus never said, come to this table as a perfect people. He said, come to this table as a repentant and a redeemed people. We just heard a beautiful song this morning about being redeemed. So confess your sins before a holy God now. Just in your own heart, just confess your sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Our praise team and sound team, Billy, if you will come up and if you'll come to be served. invitation this morning comes from Christ himself. And the invitation is, if you love Jesus Christ, if he is your Lord and Savior, you are invited to this table. If you repent of your sins, you're invited to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church. You do not have to be a member of our denomination or even a member of any church. If you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins, you are welcome to this table. We have two serving stations here. You'll be given a piece of bread. Dip the bread into the juice and partake in that manner. The same on these two stations over here. The center station has the individual cups and the individual wafers that you can be served in that manner. You're also free to not be served this morning if you choose not to do that. That is your choice. The invitation is made by Christ. Come.
Hide your face from my sin and cover my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the wonders of your love. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me. Restore to me. Your face from my sin and cover my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your. Don't take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the wonders of your love. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me. Restore to me. Deliver me from this hour of darkness, through the pain and brokenness. And I will sing of your loving kindness, and of your righteousness. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me wonders of your love. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me. Restore to me. Restore to me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me the wonders of your love. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore to me. Restore to me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. again. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
I want to remind anyone that would like to learn more about our church, the ministries of our church. We'll be meeting down in the fellowship hall directly after our worship service ends. We'll meet down there. We'd love to have you. We will be serving lunch and have child care available if you'd like to stay for that. Do you feel rich this morning? We are a rich people through Christ. Go and tell someone. In Jesus' name.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Thank you.